So you may be moving and see him about it.
Okay, I'd like to introduce you all to a good friend of mine. I met Walter Miller about a year ago, I think. Somebody told me that Walter was a dulcimer builder, and I went down there and found out that he built quite a few dulcimers over a long period of time. He started in 1928. So Walter's our guest today. He's going to play us some tunes and show us his style of playing, and maybe talk a little about how he got started making dulcimers and playing dulcimers. And there's a whole lot that I don't know about Walter, and I think we'll all have a lot of questions for him today. So let's make Walter.
Well, playing old fiddle tune, that's old timers about all I know. Traveler, that's an old time rhythm.
West Virginians know the name of that?
West Virginia.
How about Patty?
West Virginia Hills.
West Virginia Hills, right.
What was the name of the first one?
Pardon?
What was the name of the first tune you played?
Soldier's Joy.
Okay.
Cooking Straw, that's an old time.
Walter, do you know what key you're playing when you're playing those tunes?
Key G, I think.
It's the key G.
I don't know music. Don't know a bit more about music than a hog does about Sunday school. I play an old hymn that my mother used to sing 70 years ago called The Hallelujah Side.
Now you, when you fret, for fretting, you use two fingers and your thumb.
Uh-huh.
Is that something that you worked out yourself?
Uh-huh. I never took a music lesson. I just picked it up myself.
Mm-hmm. What are you using for a pick there, Walter?
This pick?
Yeah.
It's felt.
Oh, it's felt.
Mm-hmm.
Good hard felt.
Yeah, I made it out of a hat. It's three pieces of thickness of felt glued together. Couldn't buy them, so I made them wrong.
Mm-hmm.
About Uncle Penn, that's an old timer, isn't it? When you were 1928 is when I first started playing. I was 14 years old.
I didn't have to ask.
That's been 20 years ago.
Yeah, right.
61 years.
Were there other people who played? Were there other people who played who you could listen to?
No, I just started out playing myself.
How did you get your first dulcimer?
I run on to a friend of mine that had a three-string dulcimer, and I traded him an old shotgun for it. Back in 1930, there wasn't no money during the Depression.
Probably a lot of people here, like me, didn't come through that.
No, not a lot of people were very fortunate they didn't come through that. That was bad.
And you started, you got your first dulcimer in 1928. When did you start making them?
I started that year.
Yeah.
When I was 14.
You didn't have anything else to trade?
Can you describe the first one you made and what you made it out of?
I don't remember what kind of wood or anything. It was a three string. Mm-hmm. Then I made the four string. Then I went the six string.
Right away.
Mm-hmm. Then back to four. I like four the best. They're easier played, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Did you pattern your first one off of that one you traded
uh-huh.
for? Was that an hourglass shaped one?
Same as this one. Mm-hmm.
I bet it had wooden pegs, didn't it? Wood pegs.
Yes.
What kind of wood did you use in the pegs?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of wood in the pegs?
I don't know. I don't remember. It's been a long time.
Well, I mean, if you were making wooden pegs now, what kind would you use?
Well, ebony's the best if you can get it. It's the hardest.
Hard to get.
Yes.
How many, back in those first years when you started making them, you started in 28, how many dulcimers did you make in that early period? Did you make several?
Oh, I'd say 15 or 20 then. Mm-hmm. I just made them over a period of year. Maybe I'd make one a year, and maybe skip two or three years and make another one. I didn't make them steady.
Mm-hmm. And you've kept count over the years?
No, I don't. Yeah. I didn't keep count. I was just guessing at it.
And how many do you think you've made?
I'd say between 55, 60.
Uh-huh. Who did you make them for? If there was no other dulcimer players around, did you just? It sounds like you made a few to get more people to play with yourself.
I played in a string band a lot, and I used to play for the Webster County Gospel Singers. Mm-hmm. And I played with a good many people like that after I learned to play.
Did you get other people to, by making the dulcimers and I assume selling them or trading them around, you get more people to play dulcimer then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people was interested in them. A lot of people played.
So with that gospel group, you played in a lot of churches?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You go around to sings?
Yeah, just everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Was that the only music they had, the dulcimer, or did they have
No, other? they have a guitar.
And what about the string band you played in?
Oh, that was way back 1930. There was about 15 of us. We had everything. We had an organ, banjo, mandolin, dulcimer. It was just a bunch of people got together. And
did you play for dances?
Yeah, I played for dances. Well, but play you one more of that old timer called Sourwood Mountain. That's one of the oldest ones.
Thank you. songs that you played in the church?
Oh, I've played a number of them. Sweet By and By, that was one of the church songs.
These folks might be interested in the first instrument you ever made. That one you were telling me.
You mean?
The one you were telling me at lunch when you were years old, wasn't it?
Yeah, I took a cigar box and broom handle for a neck and got me a piece of screen wire for a string, and I had me a one-stringed instrument. I was about 8 years old.
That makes a craftsman.
Yeah. That was some instrument.
They call that a banjo sometimes, don't they? Starbucks banjo.
Did you ever play with a noter stick, or did you always play with the fingers?
I never could play like that.
Ah.
So I always played with my fingers. Well, play another hymn.
Well, do you play your melody just on one string or more than one?
I know two strings.
You use two strings?
Uh-huh.
I notice also sometimes you get out on the bass strings when you get down.
Yeah, there. Sometimes I get on the bass. See, there's 2.5 octaves here. And you can go down here, this is where it starts.
A little bit about how tough it was back when the Depression started, and I know I'd guess that most of these folks here have never even been in a coal mine. And I know you went into the mines to work for a long time. Maybe you could tell us a bit about what that was like.
Well, I started in the mines on my birthday when I was 16 years old. had 20 year in the mine. And I quit the mines and went into building. I was a building contractor 30 years, and then I decided that was enough, so I quit. That's been 10 years ago. I'm 75.
How would you describe coal mining back when you started? I mean, to folks who don't know about the way mining was done back in those days.
Back then, you had a crank auger, and you drilled a hole in the coal, put black powder in there, and a fuse, and shot the coal off the solid. Didn't have any cutting machines. They hauled the coal out with a mule or ponies. 25 cents a ton. That was big money back then. If you made $3 or $4 a day, you'd make a big money. Then I went to Greenbrier County. They had machines there, cutting machines. And back then it was $3.11 for a shift. That's 8 hours. That wasn't much money. That was back when Social Security first came in, 1935. Mm-hmm. Didn't take effect till 36, but it came in 35. So after that, we got a union. Things got a lot better.
When you lit the black powder, what did you do? When you were down in the mine and you drilled your hole and lit the black powder.
Long distance.
Did you run like the Dickens or what?
Did you hear?
No.
She said when you shot the coal, did you have to get out of there?
Oh,
quick?
Yes.
Of course.
You better get out. You either had a fuse or what they call a squib. And you light this, and in first, though, you drill a hole, you put the powder in, then you tamp it with a tamper with clay. Then you had what they call a needle. You twisted this needle and pulled it out, and you put a squib in this hole, and the needle came out, and light the squib. When it goes off, you got 1 minute from the time you light it to get in the clear. When it goes off, it blows the coal out. Black powder.
A lot of people get hurt around this.
Yes.
You were injured in the mine.
They weren't quick enough, were they?
Yeah, I was hurt 2 or 3 times.
When did they start strip mining the coal?
Strip mining? Mm-hmm. It didn't start through here just, maybe 20 years ago.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Back then, you didn't hear tell a strip job. It was all deep mining. I've been underground 7 miles.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
All in West Virginia?
Yes.
All the time in West Virginia?
Yes, all the coal fields I worked was in West Virginia.
Continue.
I worked the Greenbrier area, Quinwood, Crichton, Marfrans, Leslie, and down the Kanawha River, up Cabin Creek, Tioga Coal. I was there for years. Wow. Oh, I enjoyed it. Miners have a big time in there.
How deep have you ever gone?
How deep in the mine? You mean how many miles in?
Down. Was that 7 miles down
no,
and around?
No,
that's
not down.
How far down?
Well,
they go
that's hard to tell because you're underground. You don't know.
They never measured?
Nope.
You just keep going wherever
you just follow the coal, and sometimes like. Sometimes you're down 800-900 feet, and sometimes not that much. Wherever the steam of coal goes, that's where you're at.
They never kept track of where they didn't have, like nowadays there's mining charts, and they know how far down each shaft and different stuff. Did they keep track of it then, so you guys knew where you were at?
The surveyors knew, but the miner, he didn't know. No way to tell.
Didn't care as long as the coal was there.
Have you ever had any trouble with your lungs because of all your years in the mines?
Yeah, I have black lung.
Most of your friends, too, that worked with you have problems with black lung, too?
Mm-hmm. Do you have any serious accidents, fatalities in where you worked, or when you were working?
How many was I in?
Did they have any deaths in the mines where you were?
Yeah.
Around you?
I went to work with many a man, never come back. That happens in all coal mines.
Do you know any mining songs? Do you know any miners' songs?
No, I'm afraid not.
Was there any music in the coal fields
in general, was there music, were there musicians that came through?
I didn't hear you.
In the coal fields, in the area around the coal fields, was there music? Were there musicians?
Oh, yes.
Where had that take place?
Oh, a lot of the miners played music. They'd gather up in groups and play.
Did they have their own type of music, or they just played general, what everybody else was listening to?
Just by ear.
No, I mean the type of music, the hymns, or did they have any of their own types of, you know, railroad men seemed to have a lot of railroad working songs.
They just had the mountain music, old-time music.
And you got your first dulcimer from a coal miner, didn't you? Didn't you tell me that? The one you traded for?
Yes.
What's your favorite hymn that you like to play? What's your favorite hymn that you like to play?
Oh, I don't believe I have any favorite. I like all of them.
You must like the one that your mother used to sing to you. What did you say? It was Hallelujah?
Hallelujah Side.
Right.
It's an old Negro spiritual.
You play In the Garden? You play In the Garden?
Not on this instrument, I can't. I have electric six string at home that I can play it on, but the time is too different. I can't play it on this one.
You know, one thing I've noticed about Walter and his dulcimer making is he's always experimented around. If you look at this early one that we saw last night, this one was made in 1933, and he was already experimenting with six strings.
Yeah.
Would it be okay to pass this back?
Yeah, sure.
And look at it? You can often just pass it around. But, and then, Walter was experimenting with electric dulcimers back when? When did you make
I made that first one in 1930.
Is that right?
Oh, not the electric one.
Yeah,
1960, the electric.
1960.
1960, I made the first electric. Didn't have electric in 30. We didn't. We lived on a farm.
What made you do that? Had you ever seen one or heard of one?
I just wanted to see what it was like.
What kind of wood is the dulcimer you got on your lap made out of?
The back of it is Honduras mahogany, and the front is western cedar, and the sides of maple with fiberglass over.
It has a nice tone. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Do you get wood from all over the world then?
Somebody asked where you get your wood from.
Yeah.
Where do I get it now?
Yeah.
Just anywhere I can find it. It's really hard to find.
Are you still building?
Yes.
What do you think makes the best sound? What kind of woods, if you were to...
I like maple for the back and quarter sawed spruce the top.
Uh-huh.
Makes a good instrument.
What do you charge to build a dulcimer?
What I charge?
Yes.
They're different price. I get anywhere from 100 to 150 for one.
Walter, how much would one like that cost me?
One like that?
Yeah.
Would you really like to have one like that?
Well, I tell you, that's a beautiful instrument.
Oh,
it's got the reason I like it, Walter, it's got so many innovations. Yeah. That a lot of us dulcimer makers have never even thought about.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's a masterpiece.
I've been with that so long I didn't think much of it.
Maybe I can get it cheap.
It's really something, isn't it?
Do you have any children or relatives?
Yeah, I have 2 sons and a daughter.
They play?
Well, my daughter plays, and one of my sons plays, and the other one, he can't play anything. He loves music. He can't play anything.
Did any of them learning how to build instruments?
Yes. One of my sons builds dulcimers.
would you like, if you wanted to pass on anything to future generations, what do you see? You see any problem with anything being lost, any feeling for the music, or any changes? There's been so much changes in music, and is there anything that you ever had this inner fear, like, boy, I'd hate to see that die out. I wish people would do something more.
I like the old time songs, like the old time hymns and the fiddle tunes and the old time. This modern music, I don't understand it.
That makes a lot of us.
The silhouette that you have on that cutout, was that of someone you knew, or did you just?
No, that was came from a Kamae soap rapper.
That the sound gets better? Does the wood age and the sound get better as they're older? Was that sweet sounding like that when you built it?
Well, I think to some extent they do, but that one is so old that the body of it is warped, so it's pretty hard to play.
You like this one?
We all want one of those.
I told you all about that. I told you what that said about that. That's the one that I like.
Such a sound.
Did you ever know anybody to sing the old long ballads and play on a dulcimer with ballads? Did you ever know anybody to sing long ballad songs and play dulcimer with it? No? No one in your community?
Waller has a neighbor who's a fiddle maker.
Yeah, he makes violins. Mountain rifles, clocks.
Yeah, he's a craftsman.
He's really good.
Walter, what kind of wood was your old dulcimer made of?
What kind of wood?
Yes.
The top of it is cherry and the back is white walnut.
Oh.
And the sides is poplar.
White walnut, is that, we used to call butternut white
that,
walnut.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what was poplar, the sides?
It's yellow poplar, and it's sawed out of a tube before. It's not bent like this one. See, this one's bent, that one's just sawed out. Bent, so.
That's a beautiful dulcimer. That's
Thank
a work
you.
Of art.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is. Needs to be in a museum. Not at Keith's house.
So you play the dulcimer? Come up and try this instrument.
No, I'd rather have you play.
Come on, play some.
No. They hear me all the time.
Well, there's bound to be several of those more. There's old ones around the country because one turned up in Ohio that they didn't. It was in that. Book I showed a slide of last night that they didn't know who the maker was, and as soon as Walter saw it, he said, I made that in 1932. And then there's another picture I showed of Walter last night from about, I showed him that old picture of you playing.
Uh-huh.
And what did it say on the back of that picture?
I don't remember.
It says something about, this is me playing the hog fiddle, I think.
Yeah, they call them hog fiddles a lot back then.
Where does that name come from? Hogville, how did that start, do you know?
Maybe that's why it has
a sign. She wanted to know where that name came from.
Just someone made it up for a joke, called them hog fiddles.
But there's the one in the picture and there's one in Ohio, and you say you made a lot more like that, right?
Well, scattered, and I never knew where they went. I never kept track of them.
So they must be around someplace. Maybe some more will turn up.
Did you ever bow a dulcimer? Did you ever use a bow on a dulcimer?
No.
We showed some pictures last night of an old dulcimer that Henry Bryant made. And you told me you knew him at one
time. Yeah, he lived close to Somersville, maybe in Mount Nebo or somewhere.
Uh-huh. And you, did you know him as a dulcimer maker at that
yes.
time?
Yes,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
1935.
He was
started, he made them.
Mm-hmm.
In 1939 is when I met him, and he was making them then.
I think it'd be nice to hear Walter play one on that old one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll try it, but it's been here a while.
We'll pass it on back.
Now, what to play is the problem.
Golden slippers.
Golden slippers.
Tools did you have to make this with?
Didn't have much, just an old compass saw and one of these old time draw knives. Back then, wasn't nothing to make it with. I had me a workshop out under an apple tree. I didn't have tools for a workbench.
And you told me that at one time you had to go up in Virginia towards near Washington to find work. You were in your construction work.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever play much music up there?
No.
You didn't even have a dulcimer with you?
No. No, I didn't play in Washington.
Mm-hmm. You didn't think you had much of an audience?
No, I just didn't happen to take one with me.
What did you use for frets on that?
That's wire. We call it bale wire.
Bale wire?
Back then, they used this kind of wire to put around hay, and they called it bale wire because you bale hay with it.
That's heavy.
Couldn't buy frets back then. At least I couldn't find any.
That looks like awful heavy bale wire.
That's what it is.
Did you add anything to it or coat it or anything?
No, that's took cement them in there.
You cut a little V groove in there first.
Took a file. Handsaw file, three-corner file, cut slots and grew them in.
Mm-hmm. And this is a piece of bone, is it?
Uh-huh.
Where did you get your pattern for your frets? What did you use for a pattern for where the frets would go?
I got it off the first dulcimer that I traded for. Mm-hmm. Same notes.
Walter, your dulcimer, that old one, has an extra fret down near the nut. Did the one you used for a pattern have that?
I think it's just there for looks. I never did use it. So.
did the other one have that?
No.
Oh, it didn't?
Yeah.
He means the one that you traded for, the very first one that you used for a pattern?
Didn't have it.
It didn't have it?
No.
Uh-huh.
I never did use it.
Do you use any other tunings? Do you ever retune, play in different tunings?
Play it in different keys?
Mm-hmm.
Change the string? No, no.
That's it, just like that.
No, I never change the strings, that's all the same.
You have your strings all tuned the same pitch, and this one's an octave low, the bass string?
Right. Uh-huh. It's an octave from this one.
Oh, it's an octave
from that one.
One octave lower than that.
It's one octave lower than the
lower than this
third.
Now to tune it, you tune these first five strings all the same. Put your finger on the fourth fret, tune the last string, don't note very good. Anyway, you put your finger on the fourth fret and tune it same as the rest.
Now is that the fourth fret on that one and the third on this one?
No, same on that one.
It's an Ionian tuning. That's what we call an Ionian tuning, mm-hmm. Where it's tuning fifth.
Yes.
So where is do? When you play it, where is do? The do note, where is that? Which fret?
Pardon?
Where do you start? She's saying, where do you start the scale on yours? Be right there.
Well, you start it on the lower octave, you start here.
You want this one?
Be like a third, except he's got that half and then he's a fourth, but it's third on that one.
You start it open on this bass. Then you go on up. Some of the dance tunes?
Yeah, one of the dance tunes.
And then a lot of them.
Pick one.
That Arkansas Traveler was a good dance number.
Somebody said Old Joe Clark. Is that one you know?
I haven't played that for so long. I'll be afraid to try.
How about Cindy? That's one.
Don't know either. Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
That's it.
Thank you.
was wondering how you, do you just work those chords up? But I never saw anybody.
Those chords all over. Foggy Mountaintop, that's an old timer, you know that song?
Maybe we'll ask you to play one more and give you a rest.
Okay. Just trying to think of one.
Maybe another hymn.
Jesus
Loves Me. Or Amazing Grace. What? Can you do Amazing Grace?
It's too slow a time. certain times that you can't all play on. I know that.
How about a waltz? Did you ever play any waltzes?
Don't know a waltz.
Play any other polkas? Like, do you play any other polkas?
Don't know any polkas.
Fiddle tunes.
Fiddle tunes. Just trying to think of one.
What? Can you play another one that you play chords with? Another tune that you play chords? Instead of just
chord.
Noting, yeah.
There's a hymn called The Chapel on the Hill. I'm used to playing it on a sixth string. I don't know whether I can play it on this one or not.
Play it on the sixth string.
Yeah. I not that. <That's too hard. laughs>
I guess Walter will be around for a little while this afternoon if anybody wants to visit with him anymore. And Walter's an active dulcimer builder. He builds them and sells them to people all the time. And if anybody'd like to go down to Nicholas County, you can make a deal with Walter, I'm sure. So let's thank him for coming out today. Test, test, test. Okay, this is April 20th. I'm talking to Walter Miller. Yeah. You were going to tell me about this?
This happened back, 35, I believe the year was, in Greenbrier County, Leslie Mine. There was, there's some colored people there. Pardon me. They were pretty bad to drink, some of them, so they came to this man's house. And Tip Miles, he was a cop. Mm-hmm. And they got into an argument some way. Anyway, they shot him with a 410-gauge shotgun. The colored man shot the cop. Yeah. Well, he threw his hand over his heart like this. One shot went between his fingers in his heart and killed him. Well, they took these two colored men, Jackson and Bates was their name, from Leslie. They took them to Lewisburg, put them in jail. Well, that night there's about 300 miners gathered up. They went down and got this man out of jail, took him to a curve on Route 60, this side of Lewisburg, and there was a telephone pole right on the upper side of the road. Mm-hmm. They took ropes and threw over the crossbar on this telephone pole, stretched those colored people up and got back and started shooting. Killed them both. There was probably 250 miners in that, and to this day, no man ever confessed to being in that crowd. Of course, I was just a kid. They wouldn't have let me win if I would have wanted to, and I wouldn't have won anyway. But there was one man there by the name of McClung. They claimed that he was the ringleader. The law took that man and tried to torture him to make him confess. He never would confess. And they took a wooden paddle and beat the bottom of his feet till he was crippled for life. He still wouldn't tell. No man ever told.
Huh. Oh, that's something. They just did something that was bad and made it worse then.
Mm-hmm. That was a rough country back there in 1935, 36. Uh-huh. I was working there when Social Security came in. Uh-huh. In 35. Of course, it didn't take effect in 36. It was a rugged country. A lot of mines.
But you were working at the Leslie Mine when that took place?
I just went there.
And the cop that got shot was?
Tip Miles. Uh-huh.
Tip Miles, and he lived in?
He was a town cop there.
Was the town called Leslie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, the people you worked with, did they talk about the incident? I mean, you had to have been, some of them must have.
They had to be some of them, but they never, no man ever told. That's a curiosity. You'd think someone would tell, but they never did. No man ever confessed to it.
Huh. You were talking a minute ago about Buddy Starcher's father.
Uh-huh.
What was his name?
I was just trying to think. Homer.
Homer Starcher.
Homer Starcher. Uh-huh. Fiddle player. He was a good one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. He was one of the best. I never did play with him. I played with Buddy a lot.
Yeah.
And his brother Ray. Uh-huh. They were musicians, both of them.
Would Ray still be living? Is Ray still alive?
No, he's passed away.
He was older than Buddy or younger?
No, he was younger than Buddy.
Was there anybody else around Tioga that played music that you remember back in them days?
Yeah, a lot of people. Clell Woods was one of them. He played an organ. Then there was a Boffman boy who played a mandolin. And, there's different boys. I forgot all the names, and it's been so long.
Any banjo players?
Can't remember banjo. They had a mandolin.
Uh-huh.
I believe Clell played a banjo, Clell Woods.
Uh-huh.
Seemed like. Been a long time. I forgot all the names.
Where would you have to go? You actually lived in Webster County.
I was born in Webster, but now I live in Necklace.
Okay.
The line runs all just a few hundred yards from my home.
Uh-huh.
Born and raised in a log cabin.
Where did you have to go to trade?
Pardon?
Where did you have to go to trade?
Usually to Craigsville, Rich Wood, Somersville.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was a day's trip, man, back mud roads and them old Model A Fords. Push them out of one mud hole and went into another. Always a flat tire between there and Richwood and back. All day. Now, 15 minutes.
Yeah. And that's something.
They did have a ferry down there where that mountain trail bridge is. You know where it is? Down across the gully?
Yeah.
They had a ferry there at one time.
Huh. When did that go out?
It must have been around 1930 that they built that mountain trail bridge. Mm-hmm. And one time there was a car run in there and the brakes didn't catch and he went off the ferry and him and his wife was both drowned in that river.
What was, is the ferry, was it powered?
No, they just had a rope across
and they pulled the rope
pulled across.
How many cars could they take on?
Just one. It was very small.
One at a time.
Uh-huh. There wasn't much traffic then. Yeah, a lot of people made a living pulling them cars out of mud holes. They knew where they was at and they'd take the horse there. And one come along and get stuck up, they'd pull him out. That was back in the olden days.
Yeah. You ever remember anybody working any oxen around in the woods back in those
times? No. Uh-uh. I've seen a lot of ox yokes and things like that around, but I never saw an ox working work.
Uh-huh. Most everybody was using horses in the woods for...
Yeah, mules and horses.
Yeah. Something I wondered about, you said yesterday that they always used ponies and mules in the mines.
Uh-huh.
What would they do? There's a lot of mines that you couldn't fit a pony in, isn't there?
Well, some of the lower coal?
Yeah.
Well, I guess they would shoot the bottom out and make a track behind it to get in.
Make it bigger.
A lot of the places I work, one of them was Crichton. You had to shoot the bottom and then lay the track because it was so low that the motor couldn't get in. They had motors there, Crichton, Leslie.
Now, where was the first mine you worked?
First mine was up at Tioga. It was just a country mine. I was about 15 when I worked there. Pick and shovel on an old crank auger and black powder.
Yeah.
Then, a year or two later, I went to work on my birthday when I was 16 years old in the mine. There was a company come in there and started that Tioga coal, they called it.
Yeah.
And it went for several years. Well, they still go in there as a strip job, but they're not deep mining, I don't think. Uh-huh.
Where, you mentioned yesterday about when the unions came in, things got a lot better.
Union?
Yeah.
I was working at Leslie when it came in 1935.
Did they have any trouble trying to get the union in?
No. You see, Roosevelt made it a law that it was allowed a union if they voted for it, and the people voted for it, and there wasn't anything the company could do.
Uh-huh.
They was prepared to fight it, but Roosevelt stopped them.
Huh.
Then he put the NRA, National Recovery Act, he put that into effect, and people be working in the mines. Back then, maybe they worked 1 or 2 days a week.
Uh-huh.
Well, he'd let them work on the road, $3 a day, Napping Rock. I helped build a road between Quinwood and Richwood.
Hmm.
Napping Rock with a hammer and a hard road. It's a good road yet.
Uh-huh.
And they built a good road. And that helped people.
Uh-huh.
It helped a lot of people. Hmm. I remember one old boy there worked on that road and he was always hitting his legs with rocks when he'd break them. He got him 2 stovepipes. They put them on his leg and you could hear him rattle all day. Seymour Justice, I'll never forget.
Well, that worked good, huh?
He had a system there.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir, it was a rough, rugged country. All of the mines are worked out now.
Yeah.
There's still a Crichton mine, but not the old Crichton. Mm-hmm. It's a Crichton 4, I believe they call it. But this was old Crichton over real close to Quinwood.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yes, sir, them days have come and gone like Gone with the Wind. They won't be anymore. Not like that. At Leslie Mine, they used motors to haul her coal. And then they had what they call gathering motors. They would stay inside in these rooms branched off, and they would gather the coal up, put it up the main line, and then the main line motor would take it to the tipple.
It'd be electric motors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He had a bigger motor for the main line. He'd take a lot, big string of coal out there.
Right.
When you loaded by the car, you had a check that you'd hang on the car with your number on it. And when it come to that scale house, they had a chart there, and they'd put down the weight of that coal and your check number.
Right.
And then you could check there every evening and see exactly how much coal he'd done.